John Richards, Reel 4.
He asked me if I would like to go with him to a bakery land. I thought that is great. It gets me out of it. So anyway, I went across. I said, yes, I'll come with you. I said, but you've got to ask the priest or the housekeeper. All right, he said, I'll ask him. He went in and asked. And he came out, he said, yeah, that's all right, he said. In the meantime, the housekeeper came out. And she said to me, she said, why don't, she said, but you've got to be home and the baker finished. She asked the baker what time he finished. He said, oh, usually about 7, I'll drop him off. Fair enough. Of course, he was a very kind chap. In fact, I learned quite a bit of English from him. I think the firm at that time, I don't kind of remember, I think it might have been Western or something. I can't remember, Western seems to stick in my mind somehow. And every Saturday night when I finished, I got half a crown from him. I got some bread buns, some bread rolls, and some cakes, whatever was on the van. They used to take him indoors. But I sort of went up the buns, the bread rolls, but didn't see any of the cakes. Somebody else had them. Anyway, one night, we had a very bad area in Bournemouth. And we were stopped, because in those days, if a day street, any vehicles on the road, they were stopped, you had to go to an area shelter. And the old player didn't go till about 8, 9 o'clock. And I said to the baker, I said, really, I've got to get into trouble now. Don't worry, said, I'll come in with you. Well, but what I didn't know at that time, before I arrived at the scene, this housekeeper, who's Edward's auntie, had already asked the baker if he would like to take Edward on the bread round. And I don't know why, it was never explained to me, he would never take Edward. So when we got back to Wellington Road, the baker came in with me, had cakes and bread rolls, he had a loaf of bread to try and smooth the turbulent waters. And he explained to him, and he turned around and said to him, that's it, 9 o'clock, 2 hours late, finished, forget about it. Gave me half a crown, all the food, all the stuff was there on the table. He pleaded, thought he'd leave it, came next Saturday, still couldn't go. But in the meantime, I was sent to bed. It's a good job I had some bread rolls, because the baker used to cut his bread rolls in half and used to put some either cheese or ham or something into it. And also used to supply me with coffee, because he was a very good, nice chap, a lovely chap he was. I always remember him. I think his name was Tom, if I remember rightly. Anyway, but I can't be certain, so I'll keep calling Baker. Off he went. I was sent to bed, as I said. When I came down the next morning, I thought, well, at least the cakes will be there. They were. They were gone. Somebody'd eaten them. Anyway, I still wasn't allowed to go with the baker. Next Saturday, he came along. I asked if I could go. No, that's it. But you can have Edward. He said, no, I told you I'm not taking Edward. I did see him a few weeks after that, and he explained to me the reason he didn't take Edward, because, and I only found this out after, Edward was down there in Bournemouth because he got into trouble, pinching in Liverpool, and when the baker's back was turned, he used to nip into his cab and pinch some cakes. So that was it, he couldn't trust him. So anyway, that's how he died. So I got a little bit bored. So I said, so I did a little few charges in the house, and things got a little bit better, because I used to get a little bit of pocket, 6 months a week I used to get pocket money. And with that pocket money, I used to go to the Roxy Cinema in Bournemouth. Honestly, we rush. I always remember that. And of course, because of going to these firms, This is what's happening in learning English. I used to sit in there ever so intently. I used to see Flash Gordon and all these different little comedies, and Rin Tin Tin, and I saw what was his name? Hi Ho Silver, The Lone Ranger, all these golden things to see. The Marx Brothers, and there was another comedy team. I used to see all these films anyway. That was stopping all of a sudden. I know what it was. That's right. I remember there was an evacuation of Dunkirk. That's right. And the school was closed, and because we were up on the coast, in our school there were all these stone palaces and things, and the French soldiers were sleeping in there. And because I used to get bored, I used to go up there to see if anybody else came. But because I wandered off all that distance, I used to say, can I go out? Yes, you can go out. But because I wandered off, I was punished. Apparently because they said, you can go out, I was only supposed to go out in the garden. And that was the end of it. Anyway, one night, the fact that the burglar alarm went, and all of a sudden we heard this big bang. And this landmine had landed a few feet away. And because I went out in the middle of the night to look what happened, I was told I'm being sent away a few days after. And also because I was a bad influence on Edward. Then they accused me of stealing because, before this, some boys came and they stayed for a few nights. And it was getting towards the winter months. I was thinking back on this. And in the winter, we used to wear long socks to keep our knees warm. And it was a frosty winter that year. And my knees used to go black, used to go sort of bluish red. I used to come home, used to be cold, my ears used to be cold. Because that's what used to happen here, my son, which we didn't have in England. Anyway, this one lad had been going to a school in somewhere, he was waiting to go somewhere, now I don't know where he was. But he had these long pair of trousers which fitted me. He said, try these on, and he gave them to me because they fitted. I went down and saw the housekeeper. I said, look, I forget what his name was. I think his name was Benedict. That's right, Kurt Benedict. He gave me these pair of trousers. He was from Vienna. And I said to him, look, he gave me these trousers. And I said, may I wear them to school tomorrow because it's cold to keep my knees warm? No, you can't, he said. You're too young to wear long trousers. So, next morning I went off to school, but I thought, I'm not going to be beaten here. I used to wrap these trousers around my waist, put them under my coat, and off I went. Got around the corner, used to slip these trousers on over my short trousers. And of course, with two pairs of trousers, I must have looked rather porky. And people started saying, could you not look in fat all of a sudden? And when I showed them what happened, I don't know whether Edward was jealous or what, but I was coming back from school one day. I used to do this every day for about a week. And I was coming back from school one day, and just before I got to Wellington Road, there was a road going up towards the Goldfinks. There was a bridge, and there's a Goldfinks over there. And just before I got into Wellington Road, I was taking off my trousers. And all of a sudden, something smacked me in the back of the head. And I thought, that must be Edward. But it wasn't. It was the priest's housekeeper. And she went on at me and on at me and on at me. I thought I told you to leave those trousers at home. You're too young to wear those kind of trousers. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. and I was told off. And that time, I found in the house, we went into the house. The priest said, "What's going on?" She told him, "That's it, I've had enough. I'm going to get onto the committee. Get rid of you. You're nothing but a troublemaker." I didn't think there was any trouble there at the time. He thought it was. Anyway, in the meantime, these lads that were there, they were all 16 years of age, they had to register as aliens, because that came out of time, and all their gear was put in the garage. 2 or 3 days later, the police came, they were taken off. Anyway, after Christmas, all of a sudden, I came home from school, and I was told, "Tomorrow, you're going up to London." Somebody came and fetched me, and off to London I went. And it took me out. I came on the station, and a priest was there with this lady. I found out afterwards to be a teacher. The priest that came there was the housemaster, Dr. Ward.
W-A-R-D?
Yes, Dr. Ward.
Before you go on about, telling me about Dr. Ward, John, this other priest that you really don't want to name in Bournemouth, would you say he was a sadistic sort of person?
I can't tell you. I just felt at the time, to be quite honest, at times when I was being punished, although my father was a disciplinarian, when he caught me eating a dog, this was because I was hungry, my father would have laughed. I felt I was being punished unjustly. Now, the word sadistic in those days, to be quite honest, I didn't even know it existed. So I can only speak from what I thought of at the time. Maybe I'm using a more elementary language. But yes, he was sadistic, if you like to call it that. But to me, he was being unfair, he was harsh. I think he was punished me for something which wasn't necessary to be punished for. If that is sadism or sadistic, yes, he was. That is the only way I can describe it.
Also, did he ever attempt any sort of sexual molestation?
Oh, no, there was none of that. But saying this, going back to something sticks in my mind. He used to sleep with his so-called housekeeper. Now, as far as I know, I didn't know much about the religion, the Catholic religion. But as far as I know, a priest didn't sleep with his housekeeper. Going back also, now you're asking me a question, I'm glad you're asking me this, because I was forced to go to church a lot. And the church we went to, as you go down the town centre of Bournemouth, on the left hand side, the church is there still, it is a rather tall church. What it was called, I can't remember. Just on the corner of this narrow street from it. Anyway, I was forced, and also I was forced to be confirmed. This is where my name John came in, because my name from birth was Walter. And I was confirmed into the name John. Because the school wanted me confirmed, and I said, "No, I don't want to be confirmed." Because I always hoped, if I ever got back home again, if I was going to be confirmed, either that or I wanted to be a mitzvah, you see, because of my father. But it was never to be, unfortunately. So I was then confirmed. But I was forced to go to church 3 times on a Sunday. And I was forced to go to communion, which I after I got confirmed, which, you know, to me, as a grown man, that I always think to myself, if a person doesn't want to go to church, why make him partake of a communion? He doesn't want to partake. To me, that's not religion anymore. And also, with the war happening and having been parted from my family twice in a short period of my lifetime, and the first time when my mother died, and the second time I was so thousands of miles away, I actually thought to myself, why am I praying to God? Is there a God? If there is, why am I being punished and living in this country, which to an extent has been good to me, but the person I'm living with isn't good to me? I'm being ill-treated. So that's how it went. To go back now, I met this Dr. Ward. He was a doctor of philosophy with his teacher, and we got taken by train to Woodside Park Station in London here. We got off at Woodside Park Station, walked down Woodside Park, and we got to Finchley Grammar School, which at that time was a grammar school, it's now a public school. Because I tried to get some records from them when I went to school, but when I tried to get my pension, but they have got no records. It's now a county school, they say, taken on by the county council. It was a private school. And I was taken to this house, up a garden, past some tennis courts, and it was called Feckenham. Feckenham. Feckenham House, it was called. They had so many houses, like the Dooney's Fellows, Castle Town, I suppose. That was called Feckenham House. I did try to settle in there. Again, the first night I spent in a dormitory. I was the only lad there from Austria. I could not converse properly in English. One or two lads, even the first night, because when I went into tea, I thought it was very unkind to try to take the abusive, take the mickey. I was called a Nazi, which I thought was very unkind. And there was this lad called McCormack, who later on I had a very serious fight with. So I was put in this large dormitory, and of course, I was looking for somebody to go and change my clothes, but all the lads were stuck there and they took their clothes off. And of course, even in the cupboard, I would always have to go to the bathroom to change. So that didn't there, it was sort of like an army bags, if you like to call it. But this is what you do in the army, you don't go to the toilet to change. Anyway, I got my clothes off, and because I was a shy, they took the mickey out of me. Got into bed. Laid in bed, and I started to actually cry. I hadn't been in contact with my sister. Just before I came away from Bournemouth, I found out my aunt was living there. She was working in Poole. She was living in a place called Branksome Tower, Osborne Road, Parkston, Poole, and Gertrude's father's sister. I did manage to snip down and see her once while she was in Poole, while I was in Bournemouth. But again, I thought, well, somebody's got to talk, and this happened just a week before I left Bournemouth. I managed to see her. And again, as I said, I laid in bed, I cried, because I thought, well, how cruel can life be? I hadn't heard from my sister. I'd just met my aunt. Now, whether they were afraid, because I'd met my aunt, that I would tell them what was happening, I just don't know. But I was in this school, in this big dormitory, The lights were out. I didn't know where I was. I dozed off to sleep. I must have woke up sometime in the night. Again, because I think of all the upsets, and it happened to me even today, I wanted to go and urinate. I couldn't find my way out. So I got back into bed, foolishly thinking it would go away. What a fool, I was 13 at the time. What a fool I was. I laid in bed and I urinated. I tried to explain when we got woken up to the housemaster. Wouldn't listen. The boys heard what I tried to say. They found out. And of course, again, they took the mickey. I was taken by the housemaster into Finchley to some shop. They bought me school, they got me school uniform. I presume the Catholic committee, the Quakers paid for this. I don't know where it came from, but anyway, I was bought a uniform and what have you. And I came back to school. When I came back, I showed the matron who was there what I had. I want to see you. What happened to you in the night? And she managed to get through to me, and I tried to explain because of what happened when I got into tea in the afternoon. I was upset at the night, I was crying, I wanted to be back home with my family. I wanted my little brother. I wanted to see my father, which I hadn't seen. I just met my auntie after such a long time, and I was sent up here, and everything got on top of me, and I just tried to go back to sleep, and I just went to bed. I did try and explain to Dr. Ward. He wouldn't listen. So consequently, I knew what would happen if the thing wasn't changed, because it would dry into the mattress and stain. But anyway, she said, well, she called Dr. Ward in and asked him. He said, yes, he did babble on about something, but I couldn't understand, so I just told him to keep quiet. So anyway, okay, because I had tried to report it, nothing was done about it. But the matron, who was a very kind lady, she had a daughter, I remember, and she was also, I always remember the uniform, because she was in the St. John's ambulance. And I always remember that, because when I saw her in uniform as a nurse, I vowed and declared, when I became older, I would join the St. John's ambulance. I always remember that. Anyway, she said to me, well, look, I said, she said to me, John, because she started calling me John. She said, the best thing to do, we've got some rooms on the next floor up with about 2 or 3 people in. We're expecting 2 more lads that come from Vienna, and they're called Ehrlich. Now, the name I always remember because at the moment, there has been on the television a series, London is Burning. And there is something by the name of Ehrlich is writing that. And I've often wondered, is it the same people that I met at that school? They also had an uncle called Nicholas Brodsky, who was a composer. Now, I remember seeing a film but with Marie Lanza in, and his name was there as the person who wrote the music for it. And I remember later on in life, when I met my wife, Peggy, we saw his name. I said, see that name? And she said, yes. I said, well, that chap was an uncle to the 2 lads I was at school with called the Ehrlich twins, because that's what we used to call them. And it was rather a coincidence. And I remember, you know, these are incidents you remember me, it's my incident, but it's something in your life which comes out. Anyway, I was put into this room, and these two boys arrived, and we got on quite well. And because we were in this separate room, of course, we never went away on holidays. So one school holiday, I don't know whether it was Easter or something, it was at Easter time. At that time, wherever you went, there was this craze of making these crystal sets. I don't know if you're of the same age or in the same era as myself, then, if you can remember them. But we used to make these little crystal sets with this little cat's whisker, and I don't know how we got hold of the kid even. But with these earphones, we used to lay in bed at night, we used to string aerials all around the room to give it a good reception, and we used to listen to Radio Luxembourg. And because we were the only ones there, the three of us who came from Austria, we weren't allowed to speak German, except when we were on our own, if we could. We used to listen to Radio Luxembourg at 7 o'clock at night, and they used to give the news in German at that time. And then at 9 o'clock, it used to be the English programs. So we used to listen to this. So anyway, we listened to Radio Luxembourg, and we had all this found. And things got on very well. One summer, the Ehrlich twins went off somewhere. I don't know where they went, but the headmaster, Canon Parsons, I always remember him.
Were they all religious people? You know, Dr. Ward, was he a priest?
Oh, yes, they were all priests. And, of course, I'll come to that in a minute. Anyway, he asked me, I don't know whether he's felt sorry for me or what. Anyway, he said, look, I'm going down to a place called Bischofswortham, to the White Fathers. There's a big priory down there. I'll take you on holiday with me. You'll have to fend for yourself. They'll feed you the White Fathers, but you'll have to do what you like in the daytime. Which was very nice. I thought, oh, a week's holiday at last. He took me down in his car a bit. I'd never been in a car. So all the English countryside. It was beautiful. It was a lovely sunny day. Apparently, he used to be a White Father, Canon Parsons. That's why he got canonized, because he did a lot of work with the White Fathers in Africa. Which was what I believe some of the British colonies were there. And he had a lot of friends there, and he went into retreat with them. The only thing I had to do is to show my face, go to Mass every morning. Again, this ladder, I slept in this big room, they showed me where the toilets were, where the bathroom was, and everything else. And I went. I had breakfast, and off I went after church. But I had to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I had to go and say my prayers and go to Mass. Anyway, just outside the priory, there was soldiers living in the grounds, artillery, because there were big grounds at the priory. The priory today actually is used for the Hampshire Ambulance Service and the Wiltshire as a training ground, and also for the police that do it as a driving school. They use it as a driving school. Anyway, as I went out, I saw these two young ladies. They started talking to me, and because of my foreign accent, my Austrian accent, which was very pronounced in those days, they took to me, and they showed me around the village, and we sort of became pals. They had a show one evening, which some of the White Fathers went to, I went to, and this young lady, Mary, her name was Mary Regan, bless her soul, she was a lovely girl. In fact, I became engaged to her later on. But it took me from a tutor, I think. We sat there holding hands, and the father, Cameron Parsons saw me. And I could see the smile on his face of benevolence. And anyway, on the Saturday, he said, well, we've got to go back to London to finish it. okay. So I said my goodbyes, I went to the head, and mother and father made me welcome. Her father worked in on the buses, but his father was a carpenter. And they were showing me photos, always comes back in my mind now, talking about it, where he made some special seats for Winchester Cathedral.